Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
We're going to start by reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. So you can go ahead and get your Bible. We do have that. And you can stand to your feet for the reading of God's word tonight. Matthew 5, 1 through 12. You know, I know we read this text every week, even though we're only focusing on one verse, but that's so that we will remember it. In fact, like I said, that's why I wrote that little song, because I wanted to be able to teach it. I wanted to be able to remember it. And when you put things to melody, you can remember them better. And remember what Paul said. I've told you all this before. He said, for me to write the same things to you over and over again, it's not tedious, but it's safe. And so when we read this text over and over again, it's not tedious, it's safe. We're safeguarding ourselves by reading the Word of God so that we can better understand the Word, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So as we hear the Word, we're growing in our faith. So let's read Matthew 5, 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I just realized I'm going to have to wear this shirt 2 weeks in a row, because tonight we're talking about blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Next week we're talking about blessed are those who hunger and thirst. So I guess I'll wear a different summer hunger shirt. Actually, I think that's like the only t-shirts I have are summer hunger and well shirts. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and when they say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's pray once again tonight. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your love and for your word. God, if it were not for your love, if it were not for your grace, if it were not for your power, none of us would be here. None of us would be who we are. None of us would be anywhere close to righteous. But because of you, because of what you gave, and because of what you've done, we can stand before you unashamed, free in your grace and free in your love. And so we just thank you for that tonight. I pray that the word would go forth powerfully, that you would anoint my lips and anoint the ears of the hearer. God, I thank you that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I just pray that it would cut into our hearts tonight to impart what it needs to impart and to get out what it needs to get out, so that we can be healthy and whole and beneficial to the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's what we're talking about tonight. And we'll get a little closer to y'all, and then we'll talk about it. So we obviously covered blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But now we're talking about they shall inherit the earth, okay? And this is two different things, because we have the kingdom, and then we have the earth, and they're not to be confused. The kingdom is a spiritual realm in which we live in when we become a part of the family of God. But when he talks about the earth, he's literally talking about the earth, okay? And so we're going to break this down tonight. But this statement in Matthew chapter 5 that Jesus chooses to make, and I think it's important that we realize that all of these beatitudes, all of these be in this attitude or be like this or live like this statements, they weren't just happenstance that Jesus just kind of, he was just like, oh, you guys, you know, the disciples came to him. He's like, oh, I got to have something to say. I guess I'll tell you this. But these have become just these little quotes to us, just these little verses that were like, oh yeah, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they'll be filled. Blessed are the poor in spirit, there's the kingdom of heaven. It's just like we say them and we know them, but we don't actually think about the fact that this was Jesus teaching us how to live life. These are important statements that we need to grab hold of, because anything that Jesus says is important, because he did not say any words that were void. He didn't say any words that were lacking power. He only said the things that were needed to teach us, to impart into us what we need for living. And so when we read, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We can't just skip over it. We've got to realize there's something in these words that Jesus wants us to get. There's something that he wants us to apply to our life. And this statement that he made is actually derived from the 37th Psalm, which was penned by King David. In Psalm 37, verse 11, it says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundance of peace." So just like Pastor Jeff asked, did you write that? And the reality is Jesus wrote it. Someone could have said to Jesus, did you really say that? And he could say, well, actually, David said it. Okay, so if Jesus did it, I feel like I can do it too. But that's what it says in Psalm chapter 37, 11. And obviously, Jesus knew this. He grew up going to the synagogue. We know it was his custom to go to the synagogue and to read the scriptures. He knew where things were in the Bible. And so it wasn't coincidence that Jesus happened to say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, when it's found in the Old Testament. And the reason I know it's not coincidence is not only does Jesus know the word, Jesus is the word. And if he is the word, then he obviously knew it's in there, and it's something that is needed and is vital, not just for the thousands of years ago when David wrote it, but for the thousand years in the future when people are going to be sitting at the Well Fort Payne on a Wednesday night in the month of August, and they're still going to need to know that the meek are blessed because they're going to inherit the earth. And so it's living, it's eternal. How do I know that? Because Peter spoke to Jesus when Jesus had told people, he said, I need you to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And a bunch of people, they left. And they said, hey, this is really too hard of a saying. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, hey, are y'all peacing out too? Is this too much for you guys? Peter said, in all honesty, Jesus, where else could we go? Because only you have the words that are eternal and full of life. And we have to remember that anything that Jesus spoke, it's an eternal word. So that means that he didn't just speak it for right then. It's for right now. It's for today. So what do we get out of this? Jesus saw fit that in this moment of giving directions and guidance to his disciples to include these words. Remember that when it says his disciples came to him, he sat down, he opened his mouth, and he taught them, or he began to teach them. Remember that word teach is the Greek word didasko, and it means to impart knowledge, to instruct. And so when you teach someone, you don't just relay information to them, you make sure that they get the information. Okay? And so when Jesus is making sure that his disciples get the information, this is part of the information that he wants them to get, is the topic of meekness. How important it is as people to live with a meek mentality. Now, the 37th Psalm, we're not going to go to the 37th Psalm, and we're not going to study the whole thing. We could because it's absolutely amazing. It's awfully beautiful. And in fact, most scholars believe that David penned it towards the end of his life. The last Psalm that David ever wrote, for you scholars and theologians out there, is Psalm 18. That was the last one that he wrote. That's where he said, by my God, I can run through a troop, and by my God, I can leap over a wall. It's interesting that he would write that on his deathbed. That's how much energy and power and anointing that God gave him, that while he's laying on the bed and he can't even get warm in and of himself, they had to bring somebody else in to warm him, he would still say, by my God, I could run through a troop right now. I could leap over a wall. But Psalm 37 was also at the end of David's life, and it's one of... It's actually an acrostic poem or song. If you don't know what an acrostic poem or song is, I'm going to tell you. There's a portion of Scripture. There's seven psalms that are acrostic. There's a portion of Proverbs 31 that is acrostic, and also Lamentations 1, 2, 3, and 4 are acrostic. And simply what that means is it's that every section that begins must succeed in alphabetical order. Okay, I gave you an example here. Shelly, do you got that white slide? I wrote this. I did write this, Jeff. Okay? It doesn't mean that every next line has to start with the succeeding letter, but that every next portion, so there could be two lines or three lines. So it'd be like this. All I have is you, O Lord, lead me in your ways. Be near to me as I walk through the pathways of life. Cause me to hear your voice clearly. Evil men try to draw me away, but my heart is set on you. Do not let the wicked pull me aside, but uphold me by your truth. Even though I cannot see you, I know that you are near. For you have always been faithful and true, not even once has your right hand failed me. So that's an acrostic, right? That's a little psalm, that's a little poem, that's a little song, that every time a new line begins, it begins with the succeeding letter that is in the alphabet. So you may read Psalm 37 and say, well, why doesn't it start with A, B, C, D? Because they're alphabets in Hebrew, and when you translate the words over, it doesn't. So that's why I had to show you in English what an acrostic looks like. And so that's what this passage of scripture was in Psalm 37. And in Psalm 37, David gives five direct references to inheriting the earth. He talks about it five times. That's the main theme of the entire psalm. And this is what's promised in both Psalm 37 and Matthew 5 to the people that are meek. So apparently God wants this for his children. What is this? It's that we would inherit the earth. God wants us to inherit the earth. Now, what does that mean? We have to go back to the first commandment that God ever gave mankind to understand what he's talking about. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says, "Then God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Okay, so this is God's original commandment and blessing. The Great Commission is a commandment that he gave us, but the first commandment that he gave us is still a commandment that he wants us to live by. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over things. Don't live as a victim, live in victory. Don't live defeated, live victoriously. Don't live underneath, but you're called to be the head and not the tail. But the way that we become in a place where we can inherit the earth is by living in a meek manner. So from the beginning of mankind until right now, God's plan has been that humans would be the highest form of creation, that we would fill the earth, we would subdue it, we would be fruitful and multiply. So not to sound new agey, not to sound weird, but the earth is a gift from God that we're called to steward and enjoy. We should take care of the earth. That's why I don't throw my cigarette butts out the window when I'm driving down the road. That was a joke, okay? Because I don't smoke. I can't throw them out. I don't even have them. But that's why I don't throw my coffee cup. I do have coffee cups, a lot of them. That's why I don't throw my coffee cup when I'm driving down the road out, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But even though the earth is the Lord's, he chose to use us as stewards of mankind. And he doesn't want us just to live here. He wants us to have dominion here. He wants us to have victory. He wants us to be, at the top of the food chain, okay? So, and when I say that, I'm not just talking about what we eat. I know we have some vegetarians here amongst us, and I won't get into that. But even in the New Testament, Jesus is promising us that if we're meek, we'll inherit the earth. So this starts in Genesis. We find it all the way through. And that word inherit, let's talk about that for a minute. The word inherit, when Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And don't worry, we'll talk about what it means to be meek. But first, I want to kind of get you sold on the fact that you want to inherit the earth. Because if I start with meek, you might be like, I don't know if I want to be meek. But I do want to inherit the earth. So whatever that takes, we'll do it, right? No, the word inherit means to be an heir. An heir is someone that is legally entitled to a piece of property. So we're literally talking about the earth that God created and he has for us. And we're commanded to have dominion on the earth, meaning not to live in weakness, not to live in fear, but we can have authority, we can have confidence. And Jesus said this, "Blessed." Remember what blessed means. It means happy. "Happy are the meek because remember that Greek word for is the Greek word hati, and it means because. So Jesus essentially says, happy are the meek because they will inherit the earth, meaning that they will have authority and dominion on the earth. They will have an entitled right to where they are on the earth. That's why when God spoke to the children of Israel when they were going to go into the promised land, he said, every single place that the sole of your feet tread, that belongs to you. That's yours. You have dominion of that. You have rule of that. You have reign of that. Let me say this when we're talking about the earth. The earth was created for man. Man was not created for the earth. This is something that God gave us to rule in, to reign in, to steward, and to take care of. And it's found in a steward that that stewards must be found faithful. So God didn't create you to be dominated, but he created you to rule and to reign. Now, here's the thing about meekness. Let's talk about meekness for a moment. Meekness doesn't equal weakness, okay? That's an easy way to remember it. Being meek doesn't equal being weak. Just because somebody has a meek spirit about them, it doesn't mean that they have to be a doormat. I remember I worked for an old gentleman. I reference him from time to time by the name of Danny Jackson. He passed away a couple years ago, but he gave me my first job outside of like working for my grandparents, cleaning cars. And I remember he'd tell me all the time, Spencer, that's exactly how he talked, Spencer, if being a Christian means being a doormat, I don't think I want to be a Christian. He would say that all the time. And being meek doesn't mean that you have to be a doormat. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you have to be a doormat. Now, I understand Jesus taught if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them your other one also. I'm not saying that we should be looking for a fight around every corner. But it also doesn't mean that you just have to lay down and take it, right? So being meek doesn't mean that you are weak. It means this. It means that you know how to use the God-given authority that you have in the right way. That you don't use the authority and the power and the dominion and the rule to tear down, to beat down, to take advantage of, to mistreat, or to misuse. It means that I understand the authority that comes, but I also understand the responsibility that comes with the authority that I've been given. And so that's why God rewards the meek with the earth, is because the meek understand how to control the authority and the power that has been given to them, and they're not just a loose cannon running around everywhere. So Psalm 37 shows us this, that, you know, but the meek shall inherit the earth, but it also shows us the counterpart of the meek, or the counterpart of the righteous person, which is the wicked person. And it says of them that they will be cut off from the land. That's literally what it says. So you have two types of people. You have righteous people, meek people. They're going to inherit the land. They're going to dwell in the land. But then you have the wicked person. And it says, don't worry when they're doing well, because eventually they'll disappear. They'll be gone. And sometimes we look at people and we wonder, why is it that things are going well for them, even though they're not even trying to live for God? You ever see that person, maybe somebody you went to school with, somebody you're friends with on Facebook, somebody you work with, and they don't try to honor God at all. They don't tithe. They don't go to church. They don't even try to have good morals, and it's like they got everything going on. Don't worry, it won't last forever. It eventually, when the whirlwind passes, the wicked are no more, but the righteous, they will be steadfast. And so don't look at the people that are wicked and be like, man, why is it that everything's going right? That's what Psalm 37 is saying. It's don't worry. You just keep being meek. You just keep being righteous. You just keep dwelling in the faithfulness of God and feeding on him. And you just keep delighting yourself in the Lord. So the wicked may have a time or a season where things are going well, but sudden destruction is coming. Because pride will lift someone up for a time. It will. If you promote yourself, guess what? You might have a season where you get lifted up, but remember what Proverbs says. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so we realize that the fall is coming and the meek will inherit the land. That's where we can also reference that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. You might never know that. Maybe that's all happening just so that some of it's going to come your way one day. And so the one who inherits the land is entitled to have dominion, but only the meek will inherit it, only the righteous, only the ones who wait upon the Lord, only the ones that feed on his faithfulness, those who delight themselves in him. In fact, in Psalm 37, verse 4, it says this, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He wants to grant you the things that are in your heart, that you have a desire for. But I want you to see this. God is not obligated to give something to you just because you want it or just because you ask for it. That's not what this scripture is saying. Delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. You have to understand what delight means. Delight means to be soft and to be pliable. So those that are meek enough, humble enough to say, God, my heart, it's in your hands. I trust you. If you'll delight yourself in him, you'll remain soft and pliable like clay in the hand of a potter. He'll shape you and mold you into exactly what you need to be. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Because guess what? Since you've remained pliable, your desires are actually his desires. Because you've allowed him to say, this is what I want you to look like. This is what I want you to be. This is what I've called you to do. And so if we're supposed to be soft and pliable, that means that we need to guard against hardness of heart. You know, it's easy to become jaded, to become cynical, to get a hard heart, to get calloused, to where we don't even feel the love of God, the conviction of God. The presence of God could be there and we would not even have a wet eye because we've just become so calloused and just so jaded. We've got a hard heart. Sin has hardened our heart. Judgment has hardened our heart. The stress of life has hardened our heart. And this actually leads me to think of the definition of meek, because meek in the Greek, me is the Greek word praeus, and it means mild, gentle, humble, kind, and sweet-spirited. Mild, gentle, humble, kind, sweet-spirited. So that's what Jesus is saying to us when he says, happy is the mild person. Happy is the gentle person. Happy is the humble person. Happy is the kind person or the sweet-spirited person. I was hanging out with my grandparents yesterday, and it never fails. If I'm at their house for any period of time, my grandfather's found a new Southern gospel singer to show me. Be like, Spence, come in here on the, and you know, trying to look it up on YouTube, I just have to sit there and endure it, Jeff. I'm like, because I could get there a lot quicker, but he knows where he's going, so I just let him do it. He finds these singers, and listen to him sing this song, Spence. And the thing he just kept telling me about this one guy yesterday is, he's got a sweet spirit about him. He's got a real sweet spirit. And it made me think about that again today when I was studying this, and that was one of the definitions of meek, because that's one of the things that my grandfather pointed out about this guy. Is he said, he's not prideful. He's not singing to be heard. He's singing to glorify God. And you could see that on this guy. And that's what Jesus is revealing to us, is the people that are happy and will receive the inheritance that I have for them to walk in the dominion and the authority. It's not the people that come in with their name and lights and with their giftings and their abilities just plastered out there. It's the people that are meek. It's the people that are humble. It's the people that would say, I'm nothing if not for the grace and the mercy of God. But another definition of meek that I'd never seen before, I didn't know, was forgiving. Because think about it. It takes meekness to forgive somebody. And I didn't realize that was one of the definitions, but I literally found that in one of the Help Studies definitions of the word meek is being forgiving. That means a meek person is willing to forgive. One scholar put it this way when he was defining meekness. He said, meekness is to suffer wrong without bitterness or desire for revenge. That's where I want to be in my life. That somebody could just do me absolutely wrong, treat me in a way that is rude, is not that I want these things to happen, mind you, but if it were to happen, I want to be able to be the type of person that I could suffer that wrong without any bitterness, any guile inside of me, any desire for revenge. Now, a prideful person wants to see others suffer for making them suffer. Why? Because their pride has been wounded, right? You ever see that in maybe yourself or maybe in your children? Is they get embarrassed, and so they want to embarrass somebody else because they feel that that will make them feel better and it will help the embarrassment, but it really doesn't. And so prideful people want to see other people suffer the same way that they have suffered. But a meek person says, how do I forgive them? How do I love them? A meek person, the reason that they forgive is they're not weak in spirit. They're strong in their spirit. A prideful person may appear on the outside to be strong, but inwardly they're weak. A meek person on the outside may appear to be weak, but inside they have strength. So because they're sweet in their spirit, they choose, you know what? I'm going to overlook that offense. I'm going to let go of that fault. I'm going to forgive and I'm going to forget. I've heard this quote many times. It says, the first person to apologize is the bravest. The first person to forgive is the strongest. But the first person to forget is the happiest. When you're in a situation, be the bravest and just apologize. I'm sorry. Don't let pride keep you from uttering those two simple words. Hey, I'm sorry. I was wrong. And then also choose, you know what? I'm going to be strong and I'm going to forgive. You see, to forgive may seem weak, but it's one of the strongest things that you could possibly do. And then choose, you know what? I'm going to forget. I'm not just going to forgive them. I'm going to forget that it ever even happened. Some people may call that, what's the word I'm looking for? Gullible. They're gullible. You shouldn't forget what they did. What if they do it to you again? You know what Jesus said? Forgive them 70 times 7. You know what? They're going to have to stand before God for it. I'm not going to judge them for it. I'm going to forgive them. It doesn't mean that you have to stay in an abusive relationship. It doesn't mean that you have to put yourself at a disadvantage. But what it does mean is, in my heart, no matter what they do to me, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to be meek about it. I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to be mild. So the kingdom of God is not akin to the ways of the world. What I mean by that is that we fail and we let bitterness set in when we choose to not extend forgiveness. And what will happen is when you choose, I will not forgive them, you are hindering your inheritance of authority. You're hindering your ability to walk in the dominion that God created you to walk in. You're building a roadblock for yourself. You're putting up a trap for yourself to walk in by saying, I won't forgive. I won't forget. I'm going to choose to hold on to bitterness because it makes me feel better about it, not realizing that by doing that, you are choosing to not walk in meekness. And if you don't walk in meekness, you can't inherit the earth. You can't have the dominion and the authority that God has. And so we have to realize the kingdom of God is not akin to the ways of the world. We inherit the earth, but we live in the kingdom. We're kingdom children. We're kingdom citizens. And so to the world, meekness is weakness. To the world, it makes no sense to put others above yourself. To the world, it makes no sense to seek to serve instead of seeking to be served. It makes no sense to forgive and forget when somebody has wronged you. But in the kingdom, Jesus taught us this way. He said, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. He said, you should bless your enemies. You should love them. And when they spitefully use you, that means when they use you to get what they want and they don't care anything about your emotions, your life, your family, your job, your well-being, pray for them. That's the way of the kingdom. I remember when I was growing up, we went to the circus. And when we went to the circus at the Von Braun Center in Huntsville, they had this act of clowns that were actually acrobats, but they were dressed like clowns. And they performed their entire act walking upside down. They were on this trapeze and their legs were connected to these like cables in the ceiling. And they did this entire show upside down. And I remember this so well because we bought the VHS tape. I'm dating myself there just a little bit. And we bought the VHS tape and we took it home. And because we were good homeschooled Christian kids in the late 90s, we didn't have TV and we didn't have Disney videos. All we had was the circus video and Nest Entertainment and VeggieTales. And so when we got tired of Nest Entertainment and VeggieTales and McGee and Me and Bible Man, the circus video went in. And my favorite part was watching those acrobats walk upside down. And the Lord reminded me of it one day when I got older, and he said, you know, that's kind of what my kingdom looks like to people. It's upside down. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind, but it's functional. And it's, I remember, one thing I think I remember so much, or why I remember it so much is it was, they were happy clowns. They were having the time of their life, even though they were upside down. And that's how we look to other people. Like, why would you forgive them when they did that to you on purpose? Because I live in the kingdom, and I want to be forgiven, and I have been forgiven, so I want to forgive them. Why would you choose to be meek? Why not, you know, the world so much today is you do you, you go get what's yours, you be true to yourself. It's all built around self, and the kingdom's all built around I've got to die to myself so that I can live. And that's what we're seeing is the reason that the church, and when I say the church, I obviously mean the body of Christ, doesn't have the authority that we need to have is because we're not meek. We're not humble. We're not gentle. We're operating in pride. And we're operating in self instead of operating in the Spirit. So if I want to live in authority, if I want to walk in the dominion that he has, then I've got to be meek. In the kingdom, we love our enemy, right? So the world says, that's weakness. The kingdom says, no, that's power. That's authority. And I will only use the authority that I have to do good and not to do evil. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, there's a scripture that kind of puzzles some people. It says, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You ever wonder, how's that possible to be angry and not sin? Well, it's obviously possible because God's angry with the wicked every day and he doesn't sin. So it's present, it's there. But how, for us, does Paul write to mere humans, mortals, and say, hey, it's okay to be angry, but don't sin when you're angry? For me, it's really hard to not sin when I'm angry because I want to say things that I shouldn't say. I want to do things that I shouldn't do because that anger wants to fuel what comes out of my mouth and what I perform with my actions. But the way that we live and we can be angry and do not sin is meekness. Because remember what meekness is. Meekness is the ability to control the power that we have on the inside of us. It's power under control. So that means that I may be angry, but my anger doesn't control me. I control my anger. So you may say, well, how could you be angry and that's not a sin? Well, you could be angry at the injustice that takes place to young children when someone takes advantage of them or mistreats them or abuses them. You could have a holy indignation rise up in you when you hear about human trafficking or somebody beating their spouse or taking advantage of somebody. That you can be angry, but you don't have to turn around and sin. So what that means is I'm not going to let my anger cause me to miss the mark. So that's what meekness is. But meekness is also this. Remember what the scholar said. It's the ability to suffer wrong without bitterness. Or, this is so big, because I think that this is where we fail a lot of times. Or at least maybe this is where I fail, if I'm being honest. What he said was the ability to suffer wrongdoing without bitterness or the desire for revenge. He didn't say the fulfillment of revenge. He said the desire for revenge. Sometimes we can suffer wrong without retaliation, but we still have the desire to get even. There's still inside of us, well, what I would like to say to them is this. And we'll play that out in our head, not realizing that we're planting seeds of bitterness in our soul. Or maybe you don't say it to your boss, but when you come home, you say to your spouse, well, that guy is this and he's that and he's doing this wrong and he's doing that wrong. And what we're doing is we're not taking it out on him, but we still have the desire to say it and to get it off our chest. And we are pondering and plotting inside ourselves what we would do. Well, we say, well, I wouldn't do that to them because I'm a Christian, but this is what I'd like to do to them. This is what I'd like to say to them. Meekness doesn't operate like that. Meekness is the ability to forgive and forget. You know what? I'm going to operate in the strength that God has given me. And I could say something, but I'm not going to. And that may seem weak to the world, but I know that inside of me, if I say it, I'm missing the mark. If I say it, my tongue has become an unruly evil. If I say it, I'm going to start a fire. If I say it, it's going to be curses. It's not going to be blessings. And so you know what? I think I'll use the strength that God's given me to bridle my tongue and not say it. Right? Now, let's look at meekness in the life of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, which we read last week, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I'm lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." That word gentle, guess what? It's the same exact word that he uses in Matthew chapter 5 for meekness. Pray you. So, what do I want us to learn from this? Here's the most powerful person on the planet. He's able to do miracles that we can't even fathom. And he says, hey, guess what? I'm meek. I'm gentle. You know what meekness is? You want the best display of weakness? When Jesus was hanging on the cross and he could have deployed the angel armies of heaven to come and rescue him off of that cross, and he didn't. That's meekness in action. In fact, they ridiculed him. Hey, you said that you could save others. You can't even save yourself. The devil took him and tempted him after he'd been baptized. And he said, throw yourself off of this place and command angels to come and save you. He didn't. Why? Because if you have to prove that you're in charge, you're not actually in charge. And Jesus had meekness. He didn't have a power trip or an authority issue or a syndrome that made him have to show, I can do what I say I can do, because he only did it when it was beneficial to do it, not just because he could. And that is meekness. And I believe that we all could stand to be more meek, more gentle. I want to be more gentle in my parenting, just to be honest. It's one area I want to grow. I want to become more gentle in how I speak to my children when they do something that I don't like how they did it. Just because I don't like how they did it, and just because I'm their dad and I have authority, doesn't mean I have the right to say it in a rude manner. I may think it does, but really that's abuse. That's not authority. If I looked at that in a government or at a job, I would say, well, that's wrong, that's abuse. But when it's at home and it hits close to us, we go, oh, but I'm the leadership of this home. No, you're the shepherd of that home. Yeah, you're the leadership, but really Christ is the head of the home, and we should be like him. And he said, I'm gentle. I'm meek. You know, I think sometimes we read the Bible and we read it through the tone that our leadership has spoken to us, instead of the reality of how it was actually written. Jesus said, hey, come to me. I'm meek. I'm lowly, man. I'm not, you don't have to like, you know, and not that Jesus wasn't divine. I don't, and that's one thing, and let me just say this, and I may make some enemies with this. One of the things I don't like about The Chosen is how much it makes Jesus too human. Okay? And if you like it, that's fine. I'm not judging you. But it seems like it's trying to lower and lessen Jesus into the image of who we are instead of conform us into the image of who he was. Okay? So that's just, if you ever wonder, why doesn't Spencer use the Chosen for stuff or reference The Chosen? That's why. I'm not crazy of their portrayal of Jesus. Okay? There you go. It's made very well, great actors, but I don't think that's how Jesus was. But I do think Jesus was gentle. I do think he was meek. I do think he was lowly. I do think he was easy to get along with. And the point I'm trying to make is sometimes when we read the Bible, maybe you had a real harsh dad. You probably read the Bible through that tone. Maybe you had someone that they didn't exemplify love and care for you. You probably read it that way. Instead of realizing that I need to seek and ask God, can you help me to understand what you're saying and not what I think you're saying? How you're saying it and not how I'm just perceiving that you say it? Because Jesus was meek, he was lowly. Even if you go to Isaiah chapter 53, you don't have to, it'll be on the screen. This is a prophecy of Jesus. In fact, I might show this sometime. they took Isaiah 53 out of the Hebrew scriptures because it created so much, so many questions and so many disputes that the rabbis finally said, we got to take it out because the only person this could be talking about is Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. So they took it out. Go look it up. Isaiah 53 is not even in their scriptures anymore. The rest of Isaiah is, but this isn't. This is a prophecy of Jesus. This is what it says of Jesus. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He had every right to. He was the only one that was perfect. He could have said, in fact, when they brought him before Pilate, he asked him, are you the king? And it says Jesus didn't answer him anything. Even though he was. He was operating in meekness. 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 24. For to this you were called. Because Christ Jesus also suffered for us. Listen to this right here. This is very important. Leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins on his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So, when he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. When he suffered, he didn't turn around and threaten them, even though he could have, because he had way more authority than they did. But he didn't. He left us an example of meekness. Even in the midst of ridicule and torment, he didn't respond in anger. He just committed himself to the one who judges righteously. What does that mean? That means he left himself in God's hands. God, I trust you. You're my judge. You're my vindicator. You'll take care of me. I don't have to defend myself. I trust you. Remember something my grandmother always told us? I think a lot of people say it, but I remember her saying it. In regards to meekness being kindness, is that kindness is never out of style. Just be kind. Trust me, you'll stick out if you're kind in today's world. But pride and harshness and bitterness and unforgiveness, you know what they're doing? They're blocking our authority. The dominion that we should have, we don't, because we're not meek. In Matthew chapter 18, when Jesus is talking to us about, and I'm sorry, oh my gosh, I didn't know it was 7:56. Pastor Jeff went a long time on worship tonight, didn't he? Don't you guys think he went a long time? And then I sang Jesus' song, and so it's just, I'm sorry. I didn't realize how late it had gotten. And school started back too. But in Matthew chapter 18, I'll try to wrap this up, when Jesus is talking to us about the power to bind and to loose and to have dominion, he preludes it with this, how to deal with a sinning brother. Why? Because if we can't work things out amongst us, that authority doesn't work. It's void. And that's why we have so many people, I bind that in the name of Jesus, and it's still sitting there loose. I loose that in the name of Jesus, and it's still bound. Why? Because there's no authority, because there's no forgiveness. There's no reconciliation. There's no, hey, I'm sorry that I wronged you. Or there's no, I forgive you for wronging me. You know, it takes meekness, because meekness is power, to make phone calls, to schedule meetings, to send text messages and say, I'm sorry, man. I didn't treat you how a brother in Christ should treat you. Maybe tonight you need to go home before you get in the bed, look at your spouse and say, hey, I'm sorry. That's not how I should have spoken to you this afternoon. Maybe you need to set your kids down and say, hey, mom blew it, dad blew it. Will you guys forgive me? You may see, well, they'll see that as a sign of weakness. No, they'll see it as a sign of meekness. They'll see it as Dad loves me enough that he's not just going to treat me however he wants to treat me. He wants to do it right. He wants to do it how God wants him to do it. So, forgive. Be meek. But another thing we have to do, and this is, I said I was closing and I am right here. This is the last scripture. Is we have to protect against bitterness, because Hebrews tells us that the root of bitterness will spring up, cause trouble, and defile many. That means that your bitterness doesn't just affect you. It can defile a ton of other people. It can defile the church. It can defile your home. It can defile your workplace. So that's why we have to seek to be meek. Because if we're meek, we'll forgive and we'll say, I'm sorry. And it's the way of Jesus. And that's how we should walk. Remember what Peter said. We should learn from his example. And this is what he did. He operated in meekness. And in doing so, we're promised an inheritance of authority on the earth over demonic power, over sickness, over disease, over the wiles and the ways of the enemy, over fear, over insecurity. We can have dominion in the earth, but we can't have it without meekness. Amen? Stand to your feet with me tonight. Let's pray together. Father, make us meek. Help us, Holy Spirit, even as meekness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, produce meekness inside of us. Let it come forth. Let us not retaliate or even have the desire for revenge, but help us to be the type that would use love, that suffers long and is kind. Cover offenses. Forgive and ask for forgiveness. Lord, we want to walk in authority, but we don't want to be loose cannons. We want to be submitted to you. We want to walk in dominion, but we don't want to be people that walk as dictators over others. We want to stay submitted to you. We want to lead properly in our homes and our workplaces. God, I just pray for a new sense of authority and dominion to come over your people tonight, that we would fill the earth and subdue it, that we would walk in the plans that you have for us to be the head and not the tail, to have authority, and to use that authority to create good in other people's lives, and to point people to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and never to ourselves. Help us to be more like you, Jesus. And I just say tonight, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you, and may you walk in meekness and the inheritance that you have in this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. Love you.